strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Everything getting more expensive. I played this last week, but it's worth playing again. It has to do with things getting more expensive. This is an ABC report about home heating prices.
Americans already finding higher prices at the grocery store and at the gas station will soon be facing higher prices in their home heating bills as well. Propane prices are expected to jump more than 50% this winter. Natural gas could be at least 30% higher. And heating oil prices could surge nearly 60%, according to a government report.
So we are looking at a huge increase. Now they're saying propane prices are going to go through the roof. These are the essential things that families need. Let's talk about small businesses. I talked earlier about restaurants and the increased cost. I have a friend who owns some restaurants here in town. Business owners suffered through COVID-19. Whether you believe it was right or wrong, it is what it is. And restaurants were told you couldn't have dine-in. They switched to takeout only. Many of them were able to survive. They kept their employees employed as long as they could. Then we had the reduction in capacity. So they weren't at full capacity. And anybody that's ever worked in a restaurant understands turning tables, that you have to turn tables, that you've got to get tables full and you've got to get them full again. That is the key to any success in a restaurant. The bar business makes up so much of that. When there's distancing at a bar, when you're separating people, first of all, it takes away from the whole ambiance and the whole atmosphere of a bar. So it's tough for people when you go where it's social. Well, it's not social under those settings. You don't have the walk-up business. And so there is a huge reduction in profit there. So they've struggled through. PPP loans, did what they had to do, get back. Now staffing is hard to get. People are not going back to work in the service industry. So it's harder to get good employees to do the job. Just anecdotally, I went and had lunch at a little restaurant in Payson yesterday with friends. And while we were there, they were busy. And they said, listen, we can get you seated, but the kitchen is really backed up right now. And they said, we need cooks. We need people to cook. So anecdotally, you understand. We all understand what the problem is. But the costs have gone up so much. There is a meme that's going around there, that's going around the internet, talking about supporting local businesses and local restaurants. It said fryer oil a year ago was $21. Now it's $45. Chicken wings were $45 a case a year ago. It's $175 a case now. Takeout boxes are more expensive. They said, so if restaurants are raising prices a couple of dollars, it's not that they're trying to get rich. They're trying to survive. And I believe that to be true. It's happening everywhere. Policies, we've talked about energy policies. I've done that till I'm blue in the face. But what is our government doing? And this is, again, the demand. Those questions need to be asked by the media, and they need to be followed up. And what I mean by that is we don't want to hear we have a plan in place. We keep hearing that. But what's the plan? And why weren't we doing something about this months ago? If I know an expert, and I do, I've talked about her on the air. I've had her on the air many times. Her name is Kristen Bentz. She's got a company called KB Advisory Group. She lives here in the Valley now, but she's worked all over the country on Wall Street with some of the biggest firms as a retail analyst. She is one of those people that makes money for others by predicting good and bad and seeing trends and seeing what's happening. Having Kristen on this show a number of times, she was talking about the supply chain issue months ago, that when this port in China closed down and it created a bottleneck that was going to be 6 weeks plus of goods getting to where they needed to go, she saw this coming. Well, if experts in the retail world and in the financial world are seeing it, why are we not seeing it in our government? I've used the example, I used it last week, of FEMA. When we know a storm is coming, remember the criticism the Bush administration got about Katrina response. Whether you believe that criticism was fair or unfair, they claimed that the Bush administration was unprepared. What we do as a nation, because the storms move slowly, is and there's patterns based on, you know, the weather and the pressure systems and everything else, what direction that these storms are going to go. And most of the time, they're fairly accurate. They stage everything. You know that the first responders, cops, firefighters, paramedics, all the people necessary, they go to the command centers And I know this because my brother is one of the people that runs the command center for these hurricanes in Southwest Florida. They stay in the command center and they ride out the storm, not with their families, but in the command center, so that at the minute that the storm passes, they can hit the streets doing rescue operations. That's called being prepared. That's getting in front of a problem. We haven't done that with our economy. We haven't done that with the supply chain issue. The Biden administration decimates the American energy business, the fossil fuel industry. And then when OPEC begins to slow down production or doesn't make production to keep up with demand and the price of oil goes up, OPEC tells us, pound sand, we're not going to increase production. Why would Russia increase production? Russia is nothing but a glorified gas station anyway. And their only industry really in Russia is oil. And if they're going to get $90 a barrel or $100 a barrel for it, why would they increase production and drive that price down to $50 a barrel again? So we haven't done anything to help small businesses. What's interesting about that, I want you to think about the policy. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to disagree with me about this, but think of the policies of what we're seeing right now. You've got policies that are causing an undue strain, and it isn't all the Biden administration's fault. There are some things that are out of their control, but there are things they could do or could have done earlier to ease these issues, and they didn't. So now we're going to see more small businesses clamoring for help. And who's going to help them? Well, the government's going to help them. Well, how is the government going to help them? We're going to tax the billionaires. We're going to go after the wealthy people. We are going to take money from them against their will, and we're going to give it to the small business owners that are struggling. And if you're not in favor of that policy, then you're someone that's heartless. Well, we helped create the problem. And now the solution is tax and spend. The solution is take money from the rich. It's always the answer. We need all this money for infrastructure. I've got a pretty long memory. If you remember clearly, and I do, the Bush administration had an infrastructure bill, a stimulus package with infrastructure. And after the market crash that happened, the Obama administration spent $3 trillion on shovel-ready projects, infrastructure. There were signs all over America that said this project is being paid for with the stimulus money or whatever you wanted to call it. So we had all that going on. Now we've got to do it again. It's called infrastructure. It's going to make things better and easier. Maybe there are things we need to do. We need to invest in more of these things. But on top of that, we're going to see businesses closing. Part of it's from the stress of COVID that they're never going to recover from, but we haven't done anything to get them prepared for success. You look at how good the Arizona economy has done, and you look at some of the policies that our government has implemented to make it easier for businesses to keep more of their own money instead of taxing. And it's just, that's part of the issue here. It cannot be lost that the policies of this administration have at the very least not helped businesses circumvent the issues that are out there, and at worst caused a lot of the problems. We do something at 11:20 every day called Did You Hear This? Mondays is especially fast moving because it's stories over the weekend and stories from all morning. So we're going to get you caught up on the headlines next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's get rolling the headlines. Let's catch you up in one segment of the show. We call it, Did You Hear This?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Yeah, and the big local story over the weekend was the unexpected passing of former Arizona Attorney General and political figure Grant Woods at the age of 67. Here's what Emily Ryan, a longtime political consultant here in the Valley, said about how Woods will be remembered.
I think he'll go down in Arizona history like Barry Goldwater and John McCain and very few other people.
Do you think Grant Woods will be remembered in company like that?
I don't know if I would go as far as Goldwater and McCain. They were both such international figures in politics, both of them presidential candidates, which Grant Woods wasn't. And that's not a slight on Grant Woods. He made an impact on so many people. So many people remember him in Arizona politics, but he was involved in so much more. My interactions with Grant Woods were minimal, but memorable. And I had such a good time with Grant. And he was as funny as he was sarcastic and was as a quick-witted a person as I've ever met. And it is a sad loss, especially that it was so sudden. And it's interesting to see that when you're involved in Arizona politics, it's very easy to be polarizing like it is anywhere else. Grant Woods had people that loved him and didn't like him so much on both sides of the political aisle. He was someone that was a genuine human being that loved the state of Arizona. And I don't think that he was unkind. I think he was very serious sometimes and a good man. And it is a sad loss. And I am interested in seeing the people from our governor to international figures that have reached out to offer condolences. And he will be missed.
Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema joined KTAR's Gatos and Chad on Friday and was asked about her opposition to some of those big spending bills that President Biden wants to get through.
It should be no surprise. Okay. Everyone knows I'm a fiscal conservative, and I told President Biden and Senator Schumer that I will protect Arizona jobs from federal policies that would negatively impact our economic competitiveness.
All right. She said she was a fiscal conservative. Do you agree with her assessment of herself?
I agree with the assessment based on her behavior since she's been in the Senate. Absolutely. I was one of the people that was very critical of her campaign slogan, which is I'm independent, just like Arizona. I made fun of it. I really did. But I knew the Kyrsten Sinema that was in the state legislature when she was a self-affirmed communist, when she was much younger. And that's not the Kyrsten Sinema that we're seeing now. Senator Sinema now is facing a huge backlash from her own party here in Arizona, and she is standing up to it and saying this is wrong for Arizona. And so, yeah, I have to say that as much as I doubted her going in office, I am the first one to stand up and say I was wrong when I'm wrong. And the way she's behaving on this issue especially, she was proving to be independent like she said she would be. You're listening to Did You Hear This? We do this every day at this time to catch you up on the biggest news stories. What's next, Jeremy?
All right. On Friday, sports reporter who goes by the name of Jordan Schultz reported that there is a story in the works that details allegations of racism, sexism, and sexual harassment against Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver. Now, Schultz is not writing this story, and the Suns have already said that this story that hasn't yet been released is based on lies and innuendo. And here's what Schultz told 98.7 FM's Burns and Gambo.
As bad as you think it might be for us to be having this conversation, it's worse. When I was told about some of the things that are going to surface in this report, including sexual harassment, it is jaw-dropping.
Why do you think that Jordan Schultz, who's not even part of this story, released this information ahead of time?
I don't know. I have no idea why he would release it ahead of time. And we don't know what's in it. We don't know what the accusations are. And here's my problem with stories like this. First of all, if somebody is guilty of something like this, they deserve every bit of bad publicity and the public shaming that they get. Sexual harassment, things of that nature, racism are horrible. But here's the problem. If they're not true, you can never really shake the accusations. And that's what's so dangerous about this. Robert Sarver made a statement saying that this none of this is true. He's had former employees, current employees, people that know and work with him all speak out and say they've never seen this kind of behavior from him. And one of the things I found most interesting from Mr. Sarver's statement was that he said I don't begin to know how to prove something didn't happen. And so he feels like he's between a rock and a hard place. I haven't seen the story, so I don't know the accusations. We haven't seen the sources. We don't know any of that. Right now, it's a hit piece about a hit piece. So I don't know why it's out there, and that's why I didn't really talk about it much on the show or even mention it on the show, is because I don't know what to say because we haven't seen it yet. And I just don't believe we can convict somebody of such horrible allegations as this without seeing some real proof and without seeing the story as it's written. So I'm going to hold out my judgment.
The Arizona Cardinals 7-0 after their 31-5 win over the Texans yesterday. Tight end Zach Ertz impressed in his Cardinals debut with a long 47-yard touchdown catch.
Obviously, it was fun to win a football game, be a part of this culture, be a part of this team environment. You know, I kind of told the guys last night that I'm extremely grateful for just how they've welcomed me here, and I could tell how close the team is just by the interactions. Each and every guy has gone out of the way to make me feel comfortable.
The Cardinals have a ton of talent on their roster, but that alone doesn't guarantee success. Does this team, especially with Ertz now here, feel special to you?
Yeah, they feel like a very special team. By the way, here's a bit of trivia I saw yesterday. First time in the history of the NFL that a game has finished 31-5. They've never had that score.
Glad my team could be on the losing end of that.
I forgot. But you're an Astros fan, so you've got the World Series to look forward to.
Right.
So I would say this. I think this team is special for a number of reasons. I think one of the wisest decisions they made was bringing in a J.J. Watt. You've got great talent in Chandler Jones. You've got great young talent that they have drafted in recent years. You bring in great players. But bringing in a guy like J.J. Watt, who is a leader, if you haven't seen the video if you're offended by bad language, don't watch it. But him on the sidelines against the Cleveland Browns screaming about the disrespect of the Cardinals, making excuses of why they win, saying maybe we're just better. It's become a rallying cry. They have a chip on their shoulder and they've got great leadership. I think that leadership makes them special because they expect to win and they expect to work hard to win those games. I just love the Cardinals and the way they're playing. Thursday night. I'm warning you now, Jeremy. I am going to be late and I'm going to be grumpy and I'm going to sound horrible on the air on Friday because I will be at the game on Thursday.
As long as you don't sell your ticket to a Packers fan, you'll be okay.
Listen, anybody out there, I'm begging you, don't sell your tickets. Because unless you know that these people are Cardinal fans, the embarrassment that this city should feel if we go into a game where we are undefeated, we're the only undefeated team in the NFL at 7-0 against a phenomenal Packers team that travels well. If there is 40% green and yellow in that stadium, we should be embarrassed. This should be a Cardinals home game. We should be making it hard on the Packers. We shouldn't be embarrassed by the crowd. I believe it. COVID update coming in just a moment. What do the new numbers say and what do they mean in just a second?
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, I appreciate you spending some time. I want to remind everyone, November 6th is our Red and Blue Day at the Zoo. We are inviting all of the first responders here in the Valley. If you are a firefighter or you are a police officer, we are inviting you to come join us at the Wildlife World Zoo Aquarium and Safari Park. It is out in the West Valley at the 303 in Northern. All the details are on the contest page at KTAR.com. The first 1,000 fire and police families that show up will be let into the zoo for free. Rides are available to you. The day is yours. We just want to say a simple thank you. No big production, no big hoops to jump through. We are trying to make it available to the PIOs in both the fire and the police departments across the valley. But we want you to go to the contest page at KTAR.com. Come and join us for a day at the zoo. If you've not been out to the Wildlife World Zoo, it is truly spectacular. It is one of my grandkids' favorite places in Arizona to go. I love going there. They have everything you can imagine. It is spectacular, and it's always changing and growing, and Mickey has done such a great job with this zoo. And they are doing this as a thank you. We all want to thank you for your service to your community. So bring your family out to the zoo on November 6th. Contest page at KTAR.com. I'm a nerd with the numbers for COVID-19. I've been watching this thing from the very beginning and watching what's happening. I've agreed with things. I've disagreed with things. I you know, but in the end, what's happening now is getting out of control. We're questioning about whether people can gather for Christmas or Thanksgiving. I don't think that the Biden administration understood the pushback that they were going to get from people about mandates for vaccines. And it isn't for the narrative that's out there that this is Trump supporters and Republicans. It's not. It's not political in that way. Black Lives Matter, vaccine mandate protests. Look what In-N-Out Burger is doing. In-N-Out Burger says private business should not be the government's police force. We are not going to enforce this. We're not doing it. They're shutting down restaurants of theirs in California. Now, I will tell you that I think it's honorable what they're doing. But you also understand a couple of In-N-Out Burgers shutting down is not going to kill their business. What about private industry business owners? How about the fact that the heroes in law enforcement and the fire service, I believe it's 54 and 50 are the numbers, and I don't remember, is it 54 cops and 50 firefighters, whatever the numbers are, and dispatchers that are not vaccinated, that don't have waivers, that are going to lose their jobs. And they're going to lose their jobs next month, right before Thanksgiving and right before Christmas. That the very people that were on the streets as heroes in this country are the people that are losing their jobs. The head of the CDC was talking about this. Dr. Rochelle Walensky was talking about re-educating or education for these people. And this is what's so funny about this narrative, is the narrative we continue to see perpetuated is that the people that are balking at getting the vaccine right now are conspiracy theorist, uneducated people. And that's not the case. These are cops and firefighters. These are frontline workers that have seen COVID. These are frontline workers that are know exactly, some of them are hospital workers that know exactly what the effects of COVID-19 are. And yet they're making a decision for themselves that says it isn't good for me. It's not something I want. That if I get COVID-19, I'll survive. And so the outcry from the opposition is, but you could give it to someone else. Not if they're vaccinated. Not if they're the whole idea of the vaccine is to reduce the chance that you'll get it dramatically. And then if you do have one of the rare breakthrough cases, the chances of you being seriously ill, hospitalized or dying is even dramatically lower than that. So if you're vaccinated, well, what about new variants that are perpetuated because of this? And then there's going to be one that the vaccine doesn't help. And then we're all going to die. You are just begging for reasons to try to force somebody else to do what you think is right. And the problem with this is it doesn't end with one thing. That if the same government that says you have to do this and we comply as citizens, and I've been vaccinated, and I keep saying that and it drives people crazy, but there's new people listening all the time. It sounds like I'm an anti-vaxxer. I'm not anti-vax. I got it. Both doses of the Pfizer vaccine at 3 o'clock in the morning when it was first available to me at State Farm Stadium. I didn't even wait till the lines got smaller. I got it. But I'm not going to be a part of a society, a government that tells another human being what to inject into their body. It's un-American to me. You know, when you're in the military, you sign up for certain things. And I understand all of the arguments. But what you can argue about is the pushback from the American people that is happening right now. And it's not just the American people. It's worldwide. There are but here in America, the first responders, New York City, FDNY, NYPD, marching across, I think it was the Brooklyn Bridge, against mandates. And you're seeing this all over. These are people that are normally at odds, sometimes politically, joining hands and saying, and I still believe this is the way we all should be, joining hands and saying that there is only so far that you can push us. It's not as much as they want the narrative to be Republican, Democrat. It isn't. It isn't. And what's funny is these people are looking out for your rights as well, because there is going to come a time, if they're successful with this, there is going to come a time when they want you to do something that you're going to push back on. And you have a right to say no. And we all know we haven't talked about health. We haven't talked about obesity. If we were ever going to spend some time talking about how overweight America is getting and healthy options for food and exercise, we know now being outside is the safest place to be. This is where the idiocy in some of the policies falls into place. The city of Phoenix, the city I live in, the city I love, our mayor shut down the parks. You couldn't use the playground equipment. Even after it was debunked that surfaces were such a big spreader of this, couldn't use the picnic tables, couldn't use the playground equipment. On Easter Sunday, you had to pay city workers double time to work, driving their vehicles in the entrances where you couldn't drive into the entrances to the parks. And being outside's the safest place to be. Obesity is one of the biggest comorbidities that causes death and serious illness in COVID-19. We haven't talked about a healthy lifestyle. We haven't talked about what you're putting into your body and eating. We aren't talking about any of those preventative measures so that you don't have the comorbidities that kill people from COVID. What did we talk about? Wear a mask, take a shot. Wear a mask, take a shot. Wear a mask, take a shot. over and over and over again. We didn't direct our attention at the most likely group to get sick or die, which is the oldest among us, 65 plus. We directed our attention at school-age children, saying that they could get it, then they could take it home, they could give it to somebody else that might give it to an older person, so they have to wear masks. We focused our attention on the very young instead of the very old. And nobody wants to, and I took this as serious as anybody else has. But this has gotten to the point of being absurd. And I think the Biden administration is starting to see that the pushback is so severe, they can't win on this one. They cannot win. And we'll see how they handle it. We will see how they handle it. We have one more segment of the show. I want to talk about one of the topics I mentioned earlier today. I want to do a little review. We'll talk about it in a moment. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, a few minutes left in the show. I'm going to go back to a topic earlier. We've been talking a lot about people speaking out. Protest has always been a part of who we are. And so without going down a whole laundry list and a whole big long line of things, we have watched protests over the last couple of years, some justified, some not justified, some behavior justified, some horrendous behavior. Whether it's for a good reason or not, you don't commit acts of violence and robbery and arson. And we've seen that happen. Parents going into school board meetings and protesting the education of their children. And there have been some crazy things that have happened in the classrooms. One of the things that we couldn't play 1 second of it. There was a mother who saw a school board meeting in another state and saw that there were books being checked out of the school library that were porn. That it was graphic descriptions of sex acts between men and boys. So she went down to her school library and found those same books available to her children in the high school. So she went to a school board meeting, and with her time to speak, she got up and she started reading excerpts from this book with graphic descriptions of sex. They shut her mic off, saying that there were children in the room. And she said, it's available to my kids in school. And they said, well, they're high school kids. And parents are speaking out and saying, these are not the behaviors. These are not the things we want our children learning. Parents are beginning to wake up to the fact that what is the core curriculum that we believed in when I was in school, reading and being able to comprehend. Reading comprehension is such a big part of reading. It's not just being able to repeat a word you read on a page. Comprehending the meaning of something you read. So reading and being able to write and math and science and history are being replaced. And the curriculum of critical race theory is so divisive in the minds of some. And when you have things that are controversial, they shouldn't be involved. And parents began to speak out. School boards. The National School Board Association called those parents domestic terrorists. Threats of violence against people in schools. Now, there is no documented truth to big, serious numbers of this happening. There are isolated incidents of angry people. We had two people shot on the road here of road rage incidents. So we know that people act badly. I'm talking about a concerted effort of violence and threats and intimidation. What these parents are doing is demanding that school boards listen to them. So the National School Board Association calls them domestic terrorists. The National School Board Association wrote an apology letter for using that terminology, said there was no excuse for it. But they didn't apologize to you. They didn't apologize to the parents they said it to. They apologized to their members, because people that were members of the National School Board Association of these states, many of them are distancing themselves from the NSBA. And so there is a coalition of Arizona school boards that you can that is now ramping up here, because ASBA, the Arizona School Board Association, associated with NSBA, is the only option for training for school board members here. And it does include all of those things we talked about, social emotional learning and critical race theory, and these controversial curriculums are all a part of this. And it's the only training available. It's not mandatory, but if a school board wants to train its school board members on education, and the ASBA training is all that's available. So this coalition of school boards that's starting up, this brand new organization, I donated because I still believe we have to put our money where our mouth is. When we believe in something, we have to help in ways. And so one of the ways I can help is to donate. So I did. And I don't donate to a lot of political organizations. I've only donated two political campaigns in my entire life, and it was to the same politician, John Kyle. The only ones I've ever donated to in money. But there needs to be an option out there, and parents need to know the school district that they're in. Is that school board, are they with ASBA? Are they with this other option? There needs to be something out there that gets back to the core curriculum. You have a right as a parent to understand that when your child graduates from the third grade, or, you know, is promoted from the third grade, that they read at a third grade level. We all would think that that's just how it is. It is far from that. Well less than 50% of third graders leave the third grade reading at third grade level in Arizona. That alone, that statistic alone, should say we want to make sweeping changes in how we educate. Well, here's a way. This new group is going to work in that direction. So, you know, look them up. See if you support them. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I did. And look them up and see if you support what they're doing. Because we all would agree, educating our children is the most important thing, giving them an opportunity at success. If you're a social media user, I am on Twitter at Broomhead, KTAR. That's where you find me personally, or Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. I would love to keep in touch with you when the show is not on the air. I love to use social media. By the way, at Broomhead Show, just update you on what's happening on the show so you can keep up with us there as well, know who the guests are and what's coming up on the show. We'll be back tomorrow starting at about 8 a.m. I hope you can join me for part of your day again. God bless.